Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunatu Tathaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastomavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so Bhagavat Sandarbha Adhyayana 3, Adhikarna 2, Bhagavan's medium-sized form is omnipotent and all-pervasive. Page 28. When worship matures to its fruits, at that time a person sees the Lord's forms according to the type of worship. Pragyantara pritak vavat drishtis cha tad uptim. Just as there is difference in knowledge, there is difference in the worshipper and the result. That was stated in the scripture quoted, Brahmasutra 3.3.52. Madhva in his commentary says, Upashana bedad darshanat bedaha. According to the type of worship, the forms seen will differ. A cloth having the color of a peacock feather has one main color with many subsidiary colors. Sometimes, because of a particular point of view, a person will see a particular color. Krishna is like one cloth with many colors. He shows many forms within the main form. The other forms are like the various subsidiary colors. Does that make sense? So it's just like you have the cloth that's peacock color. So there's going to be so many different colors that are in it. There'll be a main color. You know, it'll have that kind of bluish. But all the other hints and tints and all that will be different. So depending upon the individual worshiper and that, they're going to see this differently. Mm. You know, just like anything that we have, someone sees it differently. Yes. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like how you say, you have a fancy car. So for one person, then it's a sign of prestige. For someone else, it's a sign of, you know, capitalism and all these kind of things like that. And for a dog, it doesn't matter. You know, is that make sense? Yeah. So the point is that you have one Lord who is non-different, non-dual, but he has all these different features that are there, all his unlimited features. So depending upon who you are, the mood you have, the particular worshiper, then you're going to see various aspects, even though you're seeing this same one Lord. You know, just like when Krishna walked into Mathura. So many people saw him in so many different ways, but he had one form. Like that. So what you see is what it is. It's not, oh, what's the fact? The fact is what you see. Does that make sense? Like we see this pot here. Okay, so some say, so it's water. Or some will say, oh, it's an old thing. Or someone will say that, okay, the copper has particular medicinal effects. So an Ayurvedic doctor sees copper as that, a copper will give this effect. If it was silver, it'd give this effect. If it was stone, it'd give this effect. You understand? So this whole point of, no, we're just looking at objectively the facts, but you're choosing which things to look at. Right? That's the individuality. Yeah? Manir yata vibhagena nila pita dibhir yuta rupa bedam avapnoti bhyan bedat tata Tata vibhu. Just as a gem shows blue, yellow, and other colors at different times, the Lord takes different forms because of different types of meditation. Narada Pancharatra. This gem is the Vaidurya, which shows various colors like blue and yellow. The word Bhuman answers the question, where? Qua. Sukadev says concerning Vamana. Yat tat vapur bhati vibhushana yudher avyakta chit vyaktam adhar rayad dharihi babhuva tenaiva sa vamano vatu samprastayor divya divya gatir yata nata. The Lord, whose body is eternally endowed with ornaments and weapons and is invisible to the world and who has a spiritual form, became visible. Then in the presence of his parents, to please them, the Lord, like an actor, whose actions are hard to understand, became Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a Brahmachari. Right, so then we see again that same principle. He appears as Vishnu. And then he takes on the particular form he's going to in the pastime, depending upon the devotee. So because they see him as in that parental form, parental mood, then they see him that way. He takes that form.
We also discussed that prema is one.
Yes.
And then everybody has a different flavor.
Yes, yes.
Can you elaborate on that?
Because prema, it means it's Krishna. Krishna's rasa. And so depending upon their particular rati, that attraction to Krishna, that then establishes the particular aspect of Krishna that they're going to be interested in.
Is it like with the color and the flow?
Yeah, it's the same thing, or with the jewel. The jewel has the... one jewel can be manifesting so many different colors, depending upon the situation. You know, the light, the this, the that, it'll look different. You know? So, the Lord, then he is one, but if depending upon the mood of the worshipper, then he'll appear in that form.
And intensity in their worship, everything is included in the
yes,
worship
yes.
itself.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's included, but it also, within that, you have different levels and all that. So it's just a matter of the particular flavor. That's why you see in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and that the acharyas then are giving an emphasis on this aspect of rati, because that defines the rasa. It means the rasa is the taste that's gained from that attraction. Right? So what is the particular attraction? What's the taste? And therefore, because of the attraction, there's specific activities. Right, so that's how you get your sambandhavide and prayojana. What is the attraction? Therefore, what is the activities performed? And then what is the taste gained? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, so then he's going through these different things, these four names, the Bhuman, Bhagavan, Paratman, and Yogeshwara. Right, so it seems to be where, how many, and when your pastimes will take place. So by that, then these four different positions, then they establish all these different aspects. As he said before, O form spread throughout the universe, Bhuman. O Bhagavan, though you spread without matter, you are still full of your six opulences. So that he spreads throughout the universe, that's Bhuman. Bhagavan means it's the six opulence. You are full of all opulence and also expand to witness everything as Paramatma. O Yogeshwar, because of a Yogamaya, you display such powers. Right, so these are four features of the Lord that's being why, where, how, and when. Right? So, that makes sense. So that's what's being discussed then at this point. Does that make some sense?
Yeah.
Uddariki, Srila Prabhupada. The word nata is significant. An actor changes dress to play different parts, but is always the same man. Similarly, as described in the Brahma Samhita 5:33-39, the Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms. Advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam adyam purana purusham. He is always present with innumerable incarnations. Ramadi murtishu kala niyamena tishtan na navataram akarod bhuvanesha kintu. Nonetheless, although he appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. He is the same person with the same potency, the same eternity, and the same spiritual existence. But he can simultaneously assume various forms. When Vamana appeared from the womb of his mother, he appeared in the form of Narayana, with four hands equipped with the necessary symbolic weapons, and then immediately transformed himself into a brahmachari, Vatu. This means that his body is not material. One who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes a material body is not intelligent. He asked to learn more about the Lord's position, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vedi tattvataha. One has to understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord in His original transcendental body. Satchidananda vigraha, Brahma Samhita 5.1. So it is original body. It's just a matter, according to the worshipper, what flavor that takes, because it's based on rasa. Does that make sense? You know, so that's how. It's just like, let's say for the person interested in money, the value is that, and so Krishna is value, so Krishna is the form of money. So then that's how they see. That's how they see everything happens. You know, does that make sense? You know, so they're what was it? The why, where, how, and when is money. You know, like that. So Krishna takes. So that discussion we had the other day about Krishna, Braja Krishna, he never leaves Vrindavan. Why? Because those who see him in that way don't leave Vrindavan. Does that make sense? Yeah. So let's say, like, when Nanda Baba and that went to Mathura with Krishna, you know, to attend the bow sacrifice, then it's not that they weren't seeing Braja Krishna. Mm-hmm. It's just that anybody outside in Dorka, they were not seeing. They were seeing, you know, Dorka Krishna or Mathura Krishna. Does that make sense? Because when the gopis then came to Kurukshetra, they're seeing Braja Krishna. Yes. If they're not seeing Braja Krishna, what's the point? And if that's not Braja Radharani and Braja Krishna, what's the whole point in the whole thing? You know, the prayers that are used for the descent, you know, by Lord Chaitanya, that descent of Lord Chaitanya, is based on that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
It's very interesting about that prayer, that you are the same Krishna, I'm the same Radha, but this is not the same place. So
yes.
The alambana and the uddipana is missing.
Yes.
That's why they want to go for...
Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. The alambana means their relationship is the same.
Yes.
But the udipana means the things that come up, him playing the flute, you know, the dancing, the forest, the trees, the moon, all this, that's not there. Because it's a different situation, different dog.
We can say that the rati is there, but it cannot transform into that rasa, the vraj rasa.
Yes. So, it does, but it has separation. In other words, sambhog, you won't get it. But it's separation, you will. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So this point is a very important point. Otherwise, we think he's just different people. It's just one person. That's just being said here. As confirmed. One has to understand the... said, I think, before that. Right?
First line of this purport.
No, but a little farther down.
But always the same.
Well, nonetheless, he always appears in various incarnations. They are not different from one each other. He is the same person with the same potency, the same eternity, and the same spiritual existence. Right, so what's changing is which rasa is being manifest. So the same eternity, same existence, the same potencies. So all these aspects. He's still all pervading. He still has all qualities. He's still the witness. He's still, you know, is the by through his internal potency, he's manifesting his attributes. It's just a matter of depending on the devotee, then that particular attribute is manifest. Sir?
Mm. Yes. So, the main confusion happens when we mix the rasa tattva with the, you know, the philosophical aspect of potencies.
You can't see what's happening in tattva and rasa. Just like Jiva Goswami has some disciples who can't appreciate the parakiya rasa. So he doesn't talk rasa, he talks tattva. Because he just says he's the Supreme Lord, it's his energies, they're eternally connected and all that. So on the platform of tattva, there can be no mistake. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes we may emphasize, oh, he didn't support parakiya rasa. No, he had people, his disciples who didn't. He just talked about the tattva. That doesn't mean you're not talking.
Yeah.
It's just like, let's say someone doesn't like the car, but you know they're into prestige, and you tell them, oh, but this car costs, you know, 1.2 million. Suddenly they like it. You know, you just change the context. You know, you take some food, you eat that, oh, this is not so nice. Oh, but this is so good for you, it does this, and the antioxidants, and this stuff. Now you like it. So that's all, you just change the context. The taste does not change, but because your perception of it does, then you appreciate it. Does that make sense? So they're just seeing it as, oh, it's just a past. Actually, they're married, but they're pretending as if they're not. You know? Does that make sense? So that's all. As soon as you do that, then it's... So that's the whole point, is depending upon the relationship of the devotee, then that particular manifestation is there. It's the same person, but which aspect comes out? You know, is it about the all-pervading personality of Godhead? You know, means so the Shanta Bhaktas are going to see about it's the absolute truth. So they're going to be looking at that aspect. The Bhuman aspect will be it's not that Bhagavan's not there, but it's just they're going to see Bhagavan and everything else from the perspective of Bhuman. Mm-hmm. Right? Like that. Well, then the worshippers in Vaikuntha are going to be seeing the personality of Godhead, but through the context that he is his... what was the other one he does?
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan. No. Yeah. Okay, yeah, the Paramatma aspect. That he's the one, he's God. He sees all things, he knows all things. Right? Yogis will see, you know, his manifestation of potencies. Right? Because the siddhis are all manifestations of potencies. You know, you can become big, small, this, that. It's all a manifestation of potencies. And then for Braja, then it's going to be Bhagavan. That'll be the main feature. Just he has all the opulence. Like you see, he's there in his threefold bending form and all the, you know, they're talking about all those wonderful qualities and all these kind of aspects like that. Mm-hmm. You know, while the other is, oh, he's the greatest, he's this, he's that.
Bhuman, Bhagavan, Paramatma, Yogeshwar, these are the different results that different people attain. So can we say that these are the different types of worship, and different sampradayas have defined their type of worship to get the result?
I mean, there'll always be an emphasis in all that, you know, whether you can exactly categorize, but the point is yes, there is that flavor. It's just a matter of these four features are there. They're all there. It's just a matter of what you emphasize. He is the same person. All these aspects are there. That's what he's saying. How can you see this? It means he's manifesting, so everybody's seeing differently. Yeah. That body full of bliss and knowledge, chit, which does not manifest by any means of vyaktam, which is endowed with ornaments and weapons, was established, adharayat, in this material world visibly, vyaktam. With that body only, eva, he became vamana, brahmachari. The word eva indicates the original body did not change in any way. He appeared while his parents watched. Right? So it's not a different body as such, it's a different form. Like that, but it's the same body. The reason for his appearance in that body is given. He has actions which are inconceivable. Divya gati. He appears and disappears in various places, in various conditions by himself. He is like an actor in that he takes joy when his real identity remains unknown. An actor uses his hand movements, gatihi, to create great astonishment, divya. In that form, without accepting false disguises, he shows various forms. Right? So, depending upon how he moves, you'll get a different person. Yes. Right? You know, it's just like you have, depending upon his gestures, how he walks, how he talks, how he looks, you'll say, oh, you're doing this. Like you have some people they can imitate.
Yes.
You know? Impressions. Right? And so, just by doing some certain things, you go, oh, there's this or that or... And so that's what he's saying. Just by this movement of his hands, his gestures, then he creates great astonishment. So it's the same person. So just how he does the things, you think is a different, you know, form, a different body. It's the same one. You know, but the original is his medium-sized form and brush. That's the natural form. You know, just like yeah, does that make sense? Yeah. In that form, without accepting false disguises, he shows various forms. Divya Gatahi can also mean an actor from Swarga. Such an actor can exactly imitate another form. Since no one except the Lord can manifest other forms completely, the fault of imperfection in actors in the example cannot be applied. The Lord is creating the universe by himself, is also compared to a spider which transforms the insects it eats into thread. Just as from within himself the spider expands thread through his mouth, plays with it for some time, and eventually swallows it. Similarly, the Supreme Lord produces the universe and then withdraws it. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.9.21. Brahma explains how Krishna has all forms. O Lord, you who are approached by being heard about, seen, and directly served, enter and remain in the lotus of your devotees' hearts, infused with bhakti yoga. Much praised. So, by your mercy, you manifest bodies appropriate to the mood they cultivate during sadhana. Right? So, in their practice, what mood is there? What is the deity of the trying to attain to? That's then the form that he shows. Does that make sense? You know, like we're following the as given to us by Srila Prabhupada, that mood of in the line of Rupa Goswami, then Braja Krishna. Yes. So because in our sadhana, that's our practice, that's our interest, yes. Then that's the form he'll manifest. Right?
So now Krishna is only reciprocating the jiva.
That's all. He's just reciprocating with the devotee according to their nature. You know, it's just like you have one person, someone who can go through and deal with people nicely. Each person he meets, he'll deal with differently. You know, you deal with a child, you deal one way, deal with a dog, deal with a political person, a businessman, or, you know, you deal differently. The topics are different, you know, the mood you have, the vocabulary you use. But it's one person. So, you have a doubt. No. You?
I was thinking of Murari Gupta and his mood of worshipping Lord Chaitanya. We went there yesterday, so...
Yes, yes. Because he's going to see his Lord Chaitanya as Ramachandra. Does that make sense? You'll see him in that bay, because as Hanuman, then that's his Lord. But it's not that same Lord doesn't take different forms. But you see, it's the same person. So there's not a problem. That's why all those different devotees can be seeing in a different way. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's like the gopis, they're seeing Krishna, but he plays all these other pastimes, so they know it's him. Does that make sense? You know, so then they complain about his pastimes as Ramachandra. Yeah. Yes.
But they are not interested in all those other forms.
It's a matter of taste, because they'll just remind them of Krishna.
So can we compare it to more kind of contemporary thing that we are not interested in some moods of a particular person?
Yeah, different individuals will be interested in different things. You know, it's like that in everything. Certain, you have a variety of food, and some people are interested in this or that or different combinations. You know, it's individual. The whole point is it's all individual. So he's an individual. Because of that, then everything else is also individual. And then he, as the individual, that's the source of all that individuality, individually deals with each individual. Okay. Yes, that's one of those. Otherwise, you can't repeat it. Right?
And he doesn't miss.
No, that's the thing. He can perfectly, because we have to remember he's the source of everything. So that means all individuality is all part of his individuality. And so dealing with a particular aspect, you're going to deal differently. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you have one body, right? But let's say there's some roughness on your face, right, from the cold. There's also some roughness on your foot, on the heel. You're going to deal quite differently. One of them, you'll get out a rough stone and start rubbing on it. You're not going to do that on your face. So that's the whole thing. Krishna's going to deal with each individual differently. Because they're all part of his, so it's not that he won't know what to do. It's him.
Yes.
Right? But because he is an individual, therefore everything coming from him is individual. Right? It means he's eternal, therefore everything's eternal. So, yes.
Maharaj, like we were discussing in the Nectar of Devotion, about because of the nature of Taiba, the drati of the devotee, he's having that particular thing, then the Vishaya, the form of Lord who is the Vishaya, has to match to that. That's how it,
yes,
it manifests.
It's they have a particular attraction. So for any particular mood or that, there's a particular environment or, and, you know, forms and all that that naturally match that. Does that make sense? You know, so let's say for the rasa dance, then it's going to happen out in the forest. You know, it's private, it's aesthetic and all this and that, and it has a particular form. You know what I'm saying? And so then you're going to taste that particular rasa. But let's say we go to Dwarka, right? Then that same mood is, you can go for a walk in the garden, but the garden, see, in Vrindavan, the garden's not a display of opulence. Right? But in Dwarka, having a garden is a display of opulence. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So it's part of his relationship with the queens to have a relationship with him in opulence. So they have their palace, they have the, so it's all about that. But you see, as the gopis, it's not about their home, this, that, they just all go out and it's different, you know. Does that make sense? So the situations that match it are there, and also the flavors that go along with it. Does that make sense? Yes, yeah, so you're always going to have all the aspects. It's just what part it plays. So, yeah. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The statement here that the Lord manifests himself before the devotee in the form in which the devotee likes to worship him indicates that the Lord becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee. So much so that he manifests his particular form as the devotee demands. The demand of the devotee is satisfied by the Lord because he is pliable in terms of the transcendental loving service of the devotee. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.11. Ye yatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. We should note, however, that the Lord is never the order supplier of the devotee. Here in this verse it is particularly mentioned, Tvam Bhakti Yoga Parit Bhavita. This indicates the efficiency achieved through execution of mature devotional service, or prema, love of Godhead. So, it's based on devotion. It's not based on something else, just because you want. Because the point is your particular energy. So, why is it that you should get some particular facilities? Just because you want. Because it's in devotion to the Lord, that the Lord's attracted by devotion. because the situations of everything, you know, he's Sat, he's Chit, he's Ananda. So he is these three states. Mm-hmm. So the situations, when we want something, it's generally a situation, you know, or it's a particular experience, you know, or a particular skill and activity or results you can get. But Krishna is all that, so why would he be impressed by that? Just because you want and therefore you get, what's the point? Right? So the thing is it's that aspect of devotion. So because the devotion is working. That's why even in karma and jnana, without bhakti, they don't work. Because even if you're dealing on the material platform in karma, it's still Krishna. It's non-different from Krishna. It's his energies. Right? So that means that he's only impressed by bhakti, by devotion. So, therefore, as the example, if your value is money, therefore you have to show devotion to money.
Yes.
And deal devotionally with the money.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I said this one. I think I'm not sure. Yeah, it may have been a... Yeah. So there's one thing is that it was a comedy. So there before the... they had the board table, you know, where all the heads of the business are and all that. And they're just about to start the meeting. So when it's ready to start, then the first thing they do, down at the other end of the table, there's like an archway. And in that archway, there's a statue of a dollar sign. So they all rise and respect the dollar sign before they start the meeting. Then they sit down and start. Like that. Yes. Yeah, so there has to be devotion. So that's the thing. There's care. You care for the money. You respect the money. You deal with the money properly. Then you have the money. If you don't respect the money, you don't see the value, just spend it because, again, it's all about you. There's no relationship with the money. Then you won't have the money. So it's only through bhakti that it's there. Though, we don't call it bhakti, right? Because we just call it karma. Bhakti is reserved for the Lord. But who you're actually worshipping in karma is the Lord.
Yes.
That's why then karma can be connected to the Lord, because it is the Lord anyway. So now it's just with proper knowledge and then with devotion. Because even you have knowledge of that, that will give you liberation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only when you see it in connection with the person, and then it's in devotion to that person. Right? In other words, you have the devotion towards the money. Right? But then through knowledge you understand money is actually a potency of the Lord. Right? So now if you just go up to there, then that will give you a little bit higher position. Right? But when you see the Lord is a person, therefore, then, money belongs to him, therefore you're working in that field because that's your nature, and therefore then you're engaging that money in the Lord's service. Then it becomes devotion. So it's just, you're raising the consciousness. You're not changing the technique. You know what I'm saying? There might be, as you raise consciousness, certain elements you're going to adjust. You know, just because of the refinement. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So Maharaj, can we say that Krishna, he has everything except bhakti? In the sense that the living entity can...
No, it's one of his potencies. But that's actually the potency that makes everything work. That's the attractive principle. But so, Samvit and Vladini combined, that is bhakti. Right? So then, when it's about the Lord's pleasure, Vladini, you perform activities to please the Lord. That's bhakti. Right? When the senses are engaged in the Lord's service, that's bhakti. So that's attractive to him. So he has, but otherwise, why? If he doesn't have devotion, then why is he sitting in our heart and going with us everywhere? Even though we've left his association, he comes with us. But, as you see, in a hidden way.
Yes.
And he takes pleasure in that. And then you figuring it out, then that's always some fun.
Yes.
Is that, yeah.
Whether we can say that through the medium of this bhakti shakti, we can form that connection. That is, the shakti can form a dynamic connection with the Bhagavan.
Yes, yes. Means it's the medium. Like that, because that's where the taste is. In other words, all the different aspects are there, but this is the one that has the actual taste. So that he's all pervading, that he's the witness of everything. Through his energies, he controls everything. That's not the attractive feature. It's him as a person with all opulences. That's the basis of the attraction, the individual. So that's the medium. It's still Krishna. Otherwise, where would it come from? Then he wouldn't be non-dual. So you have to be careful. Is that what we see as other philosophies are doing? Is they'll see the absolute truth, but they can't reconcile how everything's coming from him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, if God's all perfect, how could illusion come from him? Mm-hmm. But the point is the potency of illusion comes from him, but he's not affected by it. You know? So we have things, we're producing things, but we're not the actual producer of those things. So we become attached, we're dependent.
Yes.
Well, the Lord is independent. Does that make sense? And so, therefore, he can produce them and not be affected.
Yes.
So it's just when the energies are engaged, connected to him as a person, that's the attractive feature. Here in this verse is particularly mentioned, Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita. This indicates the efficiency achieved through execution of mature devotional service, or prema, love of Godhead. This state of prema is achieved by the gradual process of development from faith to love. On faith, one associates with bona fide devotees. And by such association, one can become engaged in bona fide devotional service, which includes proper initiation and the execution of the primary devotional duties described in revealed scriptures. This is clearly indicated herein by the word shutekshita. The shutekshita path is to hear from bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, free from mundane sentiment. Right? So they have this knowledge without the mundane sentiment. Doesn't mean they don't have spiritual sentiment. Right? Jiva Doya is there, the affection for the devotees, the affection for the Lord. But it doesn't have the mundane, because then you're going to overemphasize the external form of something as opposed to Krishna and how it's connected to him.
Yes.
Is that? Yeah. By this bona fide hearing process, the neophyte devotee becomes cleansed of all material rubbish. And thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord as described in the Vedas. Cleansed of all material rubbish. This attachment of the devotee to a particular form of the Lord is due to natural inclination. Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service because he is eternally the servitor of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entity is eternally a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Therefore, every living entity has a particular type of service, relationship with the Lord, eternally. This particular attachment is invoked by practice of regulated devotional service to the Lord. And thus the devotee becomes attached to the eternal form of the Lord, exactly like one who is already eternally attached. Right, so, by following the process of sadhana, since you're awakening an already natural sentiment, so it's not an artificial thing. It's a natural sentiment. You know, it's just like if you have a gold ring and it drops in the mud, if you wash it, what are you going to get? a gold ring. But you know, what about your options? You know, why does it have to be gold? Why can't it be silver or copper or iron? Or you know what I'm saying? So these kind of thoughts aren't that important. The point is, we have a natural relationship, and by going through the process, right, you can say, "Is no, no." But we'll, it's gold ring. It's covered by mud. We want it to become a gold ring, right? So therefore, we'll just deal with it as if it's a gold ring. We'll just wear it like it's a gold ring. Deal with it. We won't even, you know, this is illusory. This mud that's on there, right? You understand?
That's modern technique. That's modern technique.
Yes. Yes. That's how the Sahajiyas deal with it. The point is, no, it's the sadhana is going to reveal it. By going through the practice of serving the devotees, hearing from them and practicing the instructions given by them according to Shastra, that's going to naturally cleanse the heart. It'll just reveal one's natural position. Does that make sense? This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Sarup Siddhi. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form that pure devotee desires. And thus the Lord does not part from the devotee, as confirmed in the previous verse. The Lord, however, does not disclose himself to a casual or unauthentic worshipful to be exploited. That's why I said pure devotee. Right? So then if it's just casual, it's just, you know, it's an interest like that, or, you know, one who's trying to exploit the situation to get some recognition or this or that, then he doesn't. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7:25. Naham prakashas sarvasya yoga maya samavrita. Rather, by yoga maya, the Lord remains concealed to the non-devotees or casual devotees who are serving their sense gratification. The Lord is never visible to the pseudo-devotees who worship the demigods in charge of universal affairs. Right? Because you see pseudo-devotees, because those who worship demigods, then they'll consider worship of Krishna as part of that scene. Mm-hmm. So they'll consider themselves devotees. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. The conclusion is that the Lord cannot become the order supplier of the pseudo-devotee. But he is always prepared to respond to the desires of a pure, unconditional devotee who is free from all tinges of material infection. You manifest perfectly, pranayase, various bodies, shutekshita, pata, approached by hearing from scriptures, eliminates worshipping concocted forms. Kardama shows that among all the forms, those which are not preferred by the devotee are not revealed. And so, in a certain sense, you don't. He doesn't reveal those parts. You see what you want to see, right? So that subjectivity in connection with the Lord in devotion, because it's about the Lord's position, right? That's the real objective aspect. But then he'll reciprocate based on that subjective nature.
No, we have the example of Arjuna and Gita. He saw the universal form, for hand and the two hands.
Yes.
So he was automatically a devotee himself. He preferred the second form of two hands.
So that's the preferred form.
Yes.
Like that. So Krishna explains to him that this is the form that, you know, I always interact with you in.
Yes.
Because that's his devotion. But it's not that it's the problem. That's the way you like.
Yes.
Is that something like that? Yeah.
But for us, it is inconceivable.
That's the point. The Lord is inconceivable because He, being the source of everything, then is, there's nothing that's not connected with Him. So therefore, He can appear and deal with the individual based on whatever position they are, because they're one of His energies. They're part of his energy. You know, it's like you can interact with your own hand. It's not a problem.
Right? Okay. This purport, as Prabhupada explained about the jiva has that natural inclination.
Mm-hmm.
On this point, there are many different interpretations of this point. Like one main misinterpretation is we're saying that this natural inclination is a stage where the jiva naturally has prema.
No, you have to get to prema. See, when you say naturally prema, because that's the natural natural nature of Krishna's energies. But the point is us being tatasta means we start from a neutral plane. We have our natural, just like the child being born, it has a natural relationship with the parents, but you still have to cultivate it. Does that make sense? So that nature to deal with and worship and have affection towards that one's origin, that's natural. But it's where it's cultivated. Like the child's with one set of adults, he'll develop the relationship there. If they're a different set, they'll develop there. Does that make sense? But they have to develop it. So it's not that we have prema, because there's often a misconception we fall from the platform of prema. You can't fall from prema. We fall from the neutral state, the tatasta state. That's the definition. We're tatasta. So why would we say that we have prema? We have a natural position to develop in prema, but we haven't developed it.
Can we tell in the context of nectar of devotion that we may have a kind of rati for Lord, but unless it is, it goes through the whole dynamics to reach to the stage of rasa to taste,
yes,
then you can never have that experience.
No, because the point is it's about that approach to the Lord. You're approaching the Lord. It's not about us, mm-hmm. Right? Because we're not the ones that are producing these potencies. It's the Lord. Therefore, that you see is constantly that one has that faith. One by associating with devotee, one takes up that association. One takes up the bhajana kriya that's recommended. That's the process. And so, the Lord being pleased with that, then He reciprocates and reveals Himself. Because why? Because you're serving the devotees. His mercy follows the devotees. So if you're not following the devotees, how will the mercy come? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like with a recommendation, then you're getting initiation.
Yes.
Right? The guru's independent.
Yes.
But it's still with the recommendation of the local authority, yes, then they're taking that seriously. So the mercy of the guru is following the local authority. The same way as the Krishna's mercy follows the preachers.
Yes.
Is that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Is that good?
Yes.
Yeah. You manifest perfectly pranayase, various bodies, shukekshita, pata, approached by hearing from scriptures. Eliminates worshipping concocted forms, right? Because you have to hear from scriptures, otherwise we'll make up our own ideas. Because whatever we're working with is Krishna, right? And then from us, by the system of impressions, samskars, we're going to put together which impressions are important for us. Mm-hmm. And that's how we're going to make our deities.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, because what's it? What's Ra? What's his head? He has a human body, but I can't remember what kind of head.
The bird?
Yeah, the bird, isn't it? Yeah, the bird, right? So birds are there, they're free, they fly, you know, like that. Even Francis of Assisi, he appreciated that freedom of birds, mm-hmm, like that. But he didn't quite catch that they do have feathers on. Yeah, that one he didn't quite catch. But. So, no? Okay. Kardama shows that among all the forms, those which are not preferred by the devotee are not revealed. So they don't see. Right? So in other words, he reveals that form that they appreciate. Because otherwise you see is that Krishna's manifesting that flavor of Dwarka, but Brajbasis don't really appreciate it. Mm. It means they know it's him. You know? Mm. But it's not the kind of thing that you want. You know, it's just like, let's say you're going to have, you know, like a gathering of, you know, close families and friends, right? So then, you know, the husband goes to get ready, like that, and, you know, like that. It's a casual affair and all that. He comes down in his tuxedo, right? You know, it's just not going to be appreciated. Same person, but it just doesn't match. So this is that. O Lord, these are suitable forms of you who have no material form and which are pleasing to the devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:24-31. Those forms of yours which are pleasing to the devotees are suitable forms and not others. Other forms refers to forms like the ugly form that the Lord manifested to Rantidev. Such forms are made of Maya. Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva, who can satisfy all material ambitious men by giving them the rewards they desire, and who at first disguised themselves as a Brahman, Shudra, and dog keeper, then manifested their real identities before King Rantidev. Mm-hmm. Srimad Bhagavatam 9:21-15. The commentary says, the three lords, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, appearing as Brahmana, Shudra, and dog keeper, by Mayaha, showed their real forms. Why was the form shown to Rantidev not suitable? It was material. The Lord's real form is not material, Arupi Naha. The commentary says, because his form is not material, it was impossible that it could be... because his form is not material, it was impossible that it could be ugly. Yes. Okay. So, in other words, the material side of things, even though it's Krishna, that's not what's shown to the devotee. They see his original form. Does that make sense? The devotees are interested in devotion to the Lord, so that's why that aspect is what's then manifest.
Nice. For the non-devotee, the Lord can say his so-called material form.
Then all they deal with is the material forms. Mm. You know, so whatever is within the material world, whatever they have a value there, then that's what they're worshiping. So Krishna manifests in that way. Like we say, the man who worships money, then Krishna manifests as money. But it's not just because you want, you have to actually go through the whole thing. Just because you'd like to do the arti doesn't mean you actually have to make the endeavor and all that. You know, if someone comes to 12 o'clock, there's no artik and all that. They walk into the temple room, Pujari's sitting over in the corner. You know, what's happening? No artik? And that says, no, but I'm feeling like, I kind of like the idea of an artik. You know, it's a nice thing. You know, it's devotional and all that kind of. No, you still have to do something. Okay, so that was, that first one was, what was that first name? Bhuman. Right. Yes. So the one form has many forms.
Yes, Bhuman.
Or forms spread throughout the universe. So all the different unlimited forms. That aspect, that's Bhuman. Now the three remaining names will be explained in terms of Katam, how, Kati, how many, and Kada, when. Right? So there's going to be the form, right? And which form is manifest. Then it's going to be how it's manifest, how many are men, and Kada, when. Right? O Lord, full of inconceivable powers, Bhagavan, your inconceivable Shakti is the only cause of your manifesting yourself in many forms. This is the answer to how the Lord manifests, Katam, right, how. It's only because of his internal potency, because of Bhagavan. So because he's a person who has all energies, that's how he manifests in all these different forms according to the desire of the devotee. O Paramatma, Paratma, you are the source, Atma, of the Purusha and other avatars, Para, each having unlimited powers. The forms that manifest are beyond words and mind, since they manifest unlimitedly in you. This answers the question of how many, right? Unlimited. O controller through your Sarup Shakti, Yogeshwara, you are the controller through your Sarup Shakti, Yoga, which is able to manifest many forms in your one form. The meaning is this, since you have a chief form which includes unlimited forms within it, those partial forms can manifest by your will. When there is a desire to manifest a particular partial form as a result of a particular type of worship of that form, you reveal that form. This answers the question of when. So when is when the devotee worships in that particular way. Some sense. So then, okay, so what was the first... First was what?
Why?
Why? Because of the particular interest of the devotee.
Yes.
Like that. Where? Then, no, how was how you say?
Because of
his internal potency. It's Bhagavan. Like that. That's what we just did with. When? Yeah. Kada. When?
How many
is then Paramatma, right? Because of his potencies, the Lord of all the potencies, means in that he sees everything and witnesses everything. So these four will. So first time we're seeing the Lord explain through these why, where, how, and when.
This four question, you know, can we say that when we meditate? We contemplate, you know. This means we use these four questions.
When?
Manana.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have the aspect of when is a connection of yoga, and then you said meditation.
Yes.
So when we're following, we're associating with the devotees, and because of following their directions, then that absorption in the Lord, then that will be when. So when it's that's manifest when there's that devotion.
Mm-hmm. No? No, just when we try to understand one thing.
No, but I'm just saying you always use this when. So does that mean there's a background of yoga there or something like that? So, Yogeshwara aspect of the Lord is being prominent here. Someone else is going, why? You know, so.
Okay, so yes. So yes. So why to you?
So when? No. Why? Why is what was? Why was? What was
Bhuman.
What?
Yes.
Bhuman. Is why. Because he's one person, he's non-dual.
Yes.
That's why.
In the process of understanding things.
Okay.
Is it a special order in these four things?
Well, it seems to be he's this Bhuman, he's establishing that first, so you understand his form and how that unlimited thing, that one medium-sized form is omnipotent and all-pervasive.
Yes.
So once you've established that, then the other three... Yes. Because then he's going to do that through, means that's how it's going to work, is Bhuman. But at the same time, is why that the point is that that's happening because of his internal potency.
Yes.
Right? And that's because he's the Lord of the potencies.
Yes.
And therefore, then we're going to have that, then, and when the devotee has that devotion, that's when the manifestation will be. Appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you.
Because you have to start with the person. So the person himself, that's the whole point.
Yes.
Because if we just talk about just that aspect of Bhagavan, then we're not necessarily catching that Bhagavan means all these other aspects are there. Because we'll just see he has the six opulences, but he has the six opulences with all these other aspects. That person that has all that, you know, so his feature of that he's the Lord of the all this potency, that's Bhagavan. So that's where that personal aspect's going to happen. So it's happening because of the internal potency.
Yes.
But that'll happen when the devotee has that surrender and worships in that way.
Yes.
Right? Because it's always going on. It's just a matter of if we have that, then it will have a meaning.
Yes.
If you see that Bhuman refers to the Brahman aspect, then Paramatma refers to Paramatma, and Bhagavan refers to Bhagavan with the aspect of Yogeshwara and the six opulences.
And then Yogeshwara?
Yeah, Yogeshwara is an aspect of Bhagavan himself. Six opulences. The definition of Bhagavan.
But they're all aspects of the Lord.
These four can be categorized as these three Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Can we do that? Seems.
But why would you put yoga with Bhagavan? Because the yogis are always put with Paramatma. I'm just saying is you have this aspect, of course, but the point is that this is bringing out these kind of features, so you don't want to just fix it that is, oh, okay, I found a category. It means finding a category. See, when one's using the logical process, the reasoning process, you do have to take something and reduce it down to it fits into a category. But once you fit it into a category, that's where now you can say the dynamic process starts. Is now you're going to work with it and what you do with it. So this idea that I found a category and now my work's done, then it's displaying a certain aspect of the intelligence, but it's not complete. It's not the full reasoning process. Right?
Yes.
That you've removed the doubts, you've made it very clear, and now it's done. But that's just saying Shravana is the end-all and be-all. Then there has to be Manana. That brings you to the Dhyasana. So that's where the difficulty comes in the modern intellectual yes. kind of sphere, is that if they can categorize it, it's done. Like a psychologist. You talk, they categorize you, it's done.
Yes.
They're finished now. They've attained their perfection. Oh, I know who he is. You know, oh, you're thinking like this. Yeah, okay. Then they don't even need to talk to you because all they're trying to do is categorize everybody. And if they want to make some money, then you have to, according to the category, explain to them what you could do. But it's only to make money. Otherwise, as far as they're concerned, they're satisfied to just know you fit into this box. That's it. So that's the modern intellectual feel is like, that's why there's no conclusion. Because conclusion actually means you have to apply it. Well, they don't want to take it that far. They just want to end at having sent. So they'll say they've concluded, and they're into conclusions, but conclusions means they put it in a box. That makes sense. So that's why when you just go, so is it this? And then it's just, okay, now I've done it, I've categorized it. Okay, this body of knowledge is done. Now let's move on to the next point. You have to actually be able to apply it. Because the point is it's the person is there. That person is unlimited. That person has all opulences. That person is in control of the energies. Right? The person does reciprocate. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. It's the person who does all this. And these are four features, you could say, of one person. Right? So even for us, the Bhuman, that he's unlimited and all that, we're still seeing it just in the context of him as Bhagavan.
Yes.
Viti. In the next verse, it is concluded that though the Lord appears to be in the limited medium-sized form, he is unlimited and all his inconceivable activities are accomplished by his yoga maya shakti. Anucheta 41. Therefore, all these forms are included in the form of Krishna. This conclusion is stated in the following. Tasmad idam jagat avesham asat sarupam swapnabhyam asta dishanam puru dukha dukham twayeva nitya sukha bodha tanvanante mayata udyad api yat sad iva va bhati. Therefore, this entire universe, which is like a dream, is by nature unreal, nevertheless appears real, and thus it covers one's consciousness and assails one with repeated miseries. This universe appears real because it is manifested by the potency of illusion emanating from you, whose unlimited form is full of eternal happiness and knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.22. Since you are the real form of all things in the material and spiritual world, therefore, tasmat, this limited universe, appears in you, who have an unlimited, anante, body, tana, which gives eternal bliss, nitya shuka bodha. This universe perpetually appears and disappears, sat udyat. This appearance and disappearance takes place within the Lord, yat for yasmin, like a pot appearing and disappearing in earth element. So, it appears real because the Lord's real. It's appearing within the Lord. That's the appearance of the reality. So the unrealness is not seeing it in connection to the Lord. That's the unrealness. Right? Reality is seeing in connection with the Lord. Lack of reality is not seeing it in connection with the Lord. But it's still the Lord. It's still situated in the Lord. It's still coming from the Lord. Right? So, He's the source of unlimited. Because we tend to say unlimited means this, there's not the person. And if there's the person, there's not unlimited. Yes. It's the person who's unlimited.
Yes.
It's the person that everything's situated in, but at the same time, the person is beyond that situation.
Yes.
Does that make sense? That's why we started with that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with that aspect of appreciating how this non-dual aspect, this Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva.
Mm-hmm.
That when that's there, then everything else falls into place.
Yes.
And then it's a matter of taste, that therefore in that context they have a taste for serving Krishna in Vrindavan.
Yes.
You know, or as you know, as a cowherd boy, or parent, or the gopis.
Yes. If we don't accept the Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva, it is difficult.
It's more difficult, these things. Like, I can't say for sure, because they get into a lot of detail, but I would say many of these points aren't necessarily emphasized in the other schools of Vaishnava philosophy.
Yes.
You know, they'll talk about this, they'll talk about that, but they don't talk about them together. Yes. That's the uniqueness that's here in Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva.
Yes.
Right, because with that, then these others become very, you know, understandable.
Yes. Yes.
But without this, you can understand your area, but not another area.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Shamshaya, the doubt. Does the Lord have transformation? Uttara, no. There is no transformation of the Lord because of His inconceivable Shakti. So, He doesn't transform, His energy is transformed. Shruteshtu shabda mulatvat. The defects of the agent do not apply to Brahman because of scriptural statements, which are the only proof concerning inconceivable objects. Brahma Sutra 2.1.27. Means that inconceivable, you can't know them other than they're revealed by the Lord. They're revealed by scripture. Otherwise, you can't know because they're inconceivable.
Yes.
They're beyond our ability to understand. Transformation of Shakti is accepted. Because of continual appearance and disappearance, the world is like a dream, swapnabhyam. It is real, not just imagined out of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we say it's illusory, that means the consciousness of the living entity in their relationship with the material world. That's what's illusory. That's what's temporary. But the living entity seeing everything in connection with the Lord, that's the eternal platform. Because the energy itself is eternal. Material energy is eternal. But its manifestations then are temporary. And then the temporariness is that why it's a problem, because one thing doesn't connect to the next. Mm-hmm. The spiritual world, the variety there, the transformation is the energy, then it's all connected to Krishna, so there's always a continuity.
Yes, yes.
Right? Yes. But here, because if the particular transformation is something that you appreciate, then it's going nice, and if it's not, then you're left with nothing, because we don't have Krishna, we only have the transformation of the energies.
Yes.
That's all we're dealing with here. We're not dealing with Krishna. So when the energies change, if they're according to our modes, we appreciate or not.
Yes.
But in the spiritual world, you always have Krishna. So even if Krishna is not manifest as such in your particular rasa, you're still absorbed in Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mother Jashoda, when Krishna goes out to the pastures, she's in her house. It's not that she's in illusion. She's absorbed in Krishna.
Yes.
So that aspect, maybe she can't, she wouldn't be applying herself in, but she's still connected to Krishna. Therefore, all the devotees can have all the different things that they appreciate, because Krishna is the center. That's what makes it work.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So for us, even with material concepts, then you use the Daiva Varnashram, because it takes whatever you're doing and gives you a spot so you can cooperate with others, but in connection with the Lord. So the real point that holds it together is the Lord. The other one is just the mechanics of it. The real aspect is the Lord. You know, it's just like, let's say, for lunch, everyone's going to the place to eat, right? Because of one common thing, food.
Yes.
But what food's available is different, and different people will take different things. But there's one common point, so they can all relate to each other. Right? So when the commonality is Krishna, then the variety is just variety within Krishna consciousness. But if you don't have that point, that central point of Krishna, because it says Krishna is the central point of all relationships, that's what sambandha means.
Mm-hmm.
How to see Krishna as the center of all relationships. So when you see the relationship in connection with the Lord, that's then when you actually understand things properly. Then there's no illusion. It's not imagined out of ignorance. That's what he's saying. It's not that. Then you're dealing with reality. Vaidharm yachcha na swapyadi tvat. Okay, time's up. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.